SB Pod is presented by Progressive Insurance. Progressive's Name Your Price tool gives you options based on your budget, because options are nice. Visit progressive.com. Price and coverage match limited by state law. Welcome. It's SB Pod. Stanford Steve. How are you, pal?
Excellent. How are you, my man?
I'm good. Have you done anything super touristy since we moved here?
Like go see the monuments and stuff?
I mean, essentially, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I ask because as we taped this on Tuesday, after President's Day, we were lucky enough as a family to go just take a tour of the president's house. Went to the White House early on Tuesday morning. And I got to tell you, we can all do that cynical thing, and we can all sort of, well, you know. And we're very lucky we get to see lots of cool things. White House is a really cool deal. And
yeah,
it was just really neat. We, some friends from Connecticut who are now in New York, who are friendly with someone that sort of on the inside, if you will. And I mean, we signed up for a tour like anybody else. We just were lucky enough to have someone that knew the ins and the outs of the place to explain the specifics of all these different rooms that we went in, the East Wing. It was just really neat. Now, kids, you know, at some point I asked Charlie not to do the gritty in the East Wing. It's a real thing that I had to ask my son. Charlie, please don't do the gritty in the red room or whatever it's called. He's like, I want to go home. Like, all right, buddy, I got you. He was mostly unimpressed. But just a really, a very, very cool thing. It's the president's house. And, you know, living here where we do and taking that drive, driving on Constitution, and you drive right in and there are all these monuments. It's an absolutely gorgeous city. And on a beautiful day, I don't know, just really grateful to be able to have a chance to do it. And I'll say this, there's that, the one, it's like the dining room, I want to say. Is it the East Room? I there's so many different, every room had a name. Anyway, if you remember when President Obama walked down that hallway with the red carpet where he told the country, like, we got him.
Mm-hmm.
You're standing there, and to quote the play Hamilton, this is the room where it happened. And when you're standing there looking down that hallway, in the White House, and I remember that so vividly. It was just, I don't know, really just a cool thing. Anybody that comes here, there's a million things to do. And any and all of them will be great and worth your time. If you are interested in wandering around the White House, looking out the different windows, looking down the mall, looking down the lawn, seeing the monument, all that stuff. Anyway, it was cool. Fun morning.
Nice.
Be Daisy fresh for the show tonight, but that's okay. It's fine. We had a nice little long weekend.
Beautiful. Beautiful.
You and the fam got away, didn't you?
Yeah, we did. We did.
Recharge the batteries.
Yep. Went to get a little preview of Dewey Beach.
How we looking?
Oh boy, we are revved up. Couple new establishments on the horizon in old Dewey, looking fantastic.
Okay.
Obviously, crowd at the Starboard, Raw, the whole deal. They are primed and ready to go. St. Patty's Day, everything will be opening up over there. But
that's the that's the unofficial soft launch.
The established spots are already doing their thing. So, sure, no, it was good. Indoor pool got a lot of work. They had a hoop in there too. That was great. We got a lot of shots up over the weekend.
Nice.
But I got to start with you because when the TV was on and we had, you know, different times where it was on, I was all in on the Riv, and
it was, man, so good.
And we could talk. I watched a bunch of episodes of the documentary. If you want to talk about that, we could talk about that later.
I haven't seen it yet.
I don't think you would enjoy it. You know, as a golf insider, I was expecting to learn some stuff, but like, I get it. Jordan Spieth and Justin Thomas are friends. They want to kill each other when they're on the golf tournament. Got it. Joel Damon and his caddy, Best friends.
Gino.
Got it. Koepka. Not really in the great state of mind right now in his golf game. I got it. The one superstar to me who, if you, I mean, I just start bawling crying when he's talking about his family. Tony Finau, man. Good Lord. Is that guy as genuine as it gets?
The best. So
I'm interested to get your take on it. We could table it to when you catch a couple, but I thought I'd get more with all the access they kept talking about. They take a ton from the tournaments. I don't know what they would do without you or you and our guy, Steve Sands, voicing over everything, you know, just taking your guys' stuff. I would imagine you would get some checks, royalty.
Where's my check?
Yeah. So you're all over. I mean, it's weird out of order how they do the majors and stuff like that. But anyway, let's talk about this weekend because
the Riv.
There's so much, Scott. There's so much there. And I'll tell you, the guys that went and took the money with the Liv Tour, I don't miss you because we got it all in this tour, in that field. I mean, you got the battering ram and John Rahm. That's what he seems like to me on the golf course. Like, it was good. I thought Max was incredible post-round talking about, I wanted him to have to beat me.
Yep.
He went out there, did his thing. And we'll get to that. But Scott, watching Tiger Woods, like, I just, the miles. Did you see the picture of his ankle?
Mm-hmm.
Like, what he's going through to play. And then when he gets those, you know, the three straight birdies to end Thursday, like, that is such good stuff, man. Like, that's what people are starving for. And this tournament this past weekend, I thought gave you everything. You know, Cashmere Keith was up there.
Yeah, he was.
Giving it his all. So, I haven't been there. You've been there. But that tournament, I was won over, man. That tournament was phenomenal this weekend.
I always say the same thing about Riviera. It's your favorite tour player's favorite venue. Mm. And if you watch the tournament, you see why. It asks everything of you. You can't just hit one stock shot. Great short par fours, great long par fours, really interesting par threes. It's just, it's phenomenal. God, it's a great golf course. And you hit on it. I mean, as far as, you know, the Liv guys go, this is an elevated field, and that leaderboard felt and looked like a major. And there's, you know, look, that's a golf course that has hosted major championship. Plural, maybe. I don't remember. 95 is the one I remember when Elk beat Ernie Els long ago. But it's a major championship worthy venue. You look at the leaderboard. It was awesome. John Rahm, all he does is shoot 66 every time he plays.
Man.
He's an animal. He's an absolute animal. But Homa, everybody loves Max. If Tiger's not your favorite player, it seems like Max has become everybody's favorite player. Mm-hmm. And you see why. Like, he's just a genuine cat. And when it's over and he gets moved to tears about, like, that's the tournament he wanted to win more than any, he did. But there were no fans there at the time.
Yeah.
So he's got his family and his friends out there watching him. And his good enough wasn't good enough to beat Rahm. Because right now his good enough is better than anybody else's, it seems, mostly.
Yeah.
But it was interesting because, you know, been out there for a long, long time. And the thing that I think I've shared here a lot is that there's a lot of really good dudes. A lot of just, I mean, they're not regular because they're zillionaires, but mm-hmm. they're mostly like us. Just dudes that love sports, love to talk regular eggs mm-hmm. as much as you can be. And it was just wild because, like, people that I'll bother via text were on the leaderboard a lot. There's Homa. There's yep. Woodland, our yep. guy Woody.
Yeah. Figured out some irons, it sounded like.
There you go. I was like, were you... And I was curious because Kansas is playing Baylor in that in that game. By the way, we're going to get to the teams that can win a title here coming up.
Yes,
that's really the main crux of this podcast. But I said, great plan. I don't want to give away anything about this your game. He's like, oh, I follow it the whole way. I said, really? He said, yeah. I'm too impatient. I can't. Like, I'm the guy that when you know if Maryland's playing and I'm traveling, I'll wait till later. You got to just stay away from your phone. But Woodland's up there. Keith Mitchell, a.k.a. Cashmere, he's in the mix. I said, whatever your best Cashmere are, bro, this is the weekend for it. You're at the Riv, all right? We want the very, very high, silky thread count Cashmere. He's like, gotcha. So the thing about the tour is there's always someone to root for. There's always someone up there that you're rooting for. Sometimes it's a caddy. A lot of times it's players. This weekend, in any direction I looked, I'm thinking, I'll be happy for somebody, you know? And in Rob's case, it's like, you've eaten enough. You're the guy going back in the all-you-can-eat buffet for thirds. No one else has even eaten yet. But that's just sort of the lane he's in right now. He's that good. But the combination, though, of the venue, the host, the quality of the leaderboard, and, you know, the way the tournament plays out on Sunday, and it really, excuse me, over the course of the weekend, if you even vaguely like golf, it was right there, all you can eat.
Oh, God. I mean, everything. You named it. Cantlay's there. Zalatoris had 64 on Sunday. Like, yep. It had all the goods, and it was a phenomenal watch. And, you know, I thought it was real interesting for Homa to say, like, know how good he had to be, because John's not a guy that's going to fold.
No.
And he said the word fold, and I'm like, wow, that's – you know what you got to get. And it was right there. You know, it's right there. But it's the best. I mean, look at – like that golf, like we're sitting here starting a podcast with the golf that is being played, right? And then I think about, and that's why I love it so much, because we're talking about and reacting to what we see. And then think about what is consumed and talk about on the NBA front as far as games being played. We don't ever talk about the games being played because they all suck because nobody's playing. And then even I think baseball's in a bothersome spot, because I watch the games. I want to talk about the games. I don't want to talk about Otani's agent said he's going to explore free agency. No, he's gonna. Like,
yeah, this just in.
Yeah, I mean, I just, and that's what I said. It's so refreshing. You said there's always somebody to root for. There's always a story there, and it was just phenomenal.
One quick thing on the NBA, and the playoffs are awesome, and that's the problem, is that everything else is just the drudgery to get there, now including the All-Star game. And this is not a 100 think piece of how to fix it. There's no fixing it. It's over.
Mm.
It's over. Dudes can't be bothered to care, then I don't. Didn't watch a second, won't. The end. You don't care. Neither do I. What are you kidding? You kidding? No. Like, who's watching that? No one. No one. Because you don't care. Okay. Then don't do it.
Yeah.
Just pull the plug. There's no fix. There is no fix for this game, because no one wants to be there and no one cares. And you could go back. We did this once on, I think when we were doing SVP and Russillo, and it was around the time, 10 years ago or whatever, and I went back and I looked how many threes were shot in a game and what the score was, and it was still sort of a game. And I get that we don't want to get hurt. Well, I don't think, you know, you want to date yourself. Okay, I don't think Bird and Magic and Jordan, I don't think they wanted to get hurt, but they played.
Mm-hmm.
No, but now it's not going to be in the dunk contest, not going to be in the three-point shooting contest, don't really want to play the game. Cool. Pull the plug. Don't do it. The end. Everybody's happy. Go to Cancun. 1, 2, 3, Cancun, February style. It'd be do everybody better. Then guess what? Here's the win. Then when they come back, load management, everybody's fresh. Nobody had to play at all. Now we can play games. Oh, no, we can't. Oh, that's a whole other conversation. But I don't have a fix. You don't care. I don't care. It's fine. I think it was Van Gundy that said, Stan Van Gundy tweeted out something like, here, I have a fix. I have a fix. Give $1 million to each member of the winning team, which is, that's fine. Frank Iasola responds, my proposal's much cheaper. How about trying just a little? What a great tweet. And that's it. Can't be bothered to try. Okay.
Yeah. It's, I, the kids went to bed. I watched it and it's bad. Bad, bad, bad.
Yeah. Okay. So no fix.
No.
Okay. Moving on.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
We've reached the point in the podcast year when it's time for Stanford Steve to tell us. The number, do you want to give the number or you just want to go through the exercise where we just...
No, I want to go through the exercise because I have a feeling I could be talked in by you of teams that should not be on the list.
Okay.
All right.
I have a list as well.
You do?
Yep.
All right. All right. Let's go conference. Let's go
that's
Big 12.
That's exactly what I did. How many Big 12 teams can win the national title?
I am going to definitely have more than you. I have five.
So do I. I have question marks next to several. Let's just get this out of the way. Kansas, obviously, they're as good as anybody. They got 14 quad one wins. Texas, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Baylor, yeah. Baylor, there are many nights when I think they're my favorite team in this league.
Mm.
So that's the three. That's the three for me for sure. Then I have question marks next to two more. Is TCU one of them?
Yes, I have them. I'm in the tank for them. I know that, you know, we saw how they're still ranked. I'll never know. I think that shows you how much people like them. But Miles getting back in the mix now, had a big game against Oklahoma State. Didn't play great last night. I think he's getting his legs back. I have TCU on the list.
They're on my list, too, even after I watched them miss approximately 28 layups against KU.
Oof.
I mean, fellas. Fellas, you're on the list.
Yeah.
A layup or two. Mm. Okay. Who's the fifth?
Kansas State.
We're in agreement. I have Kansas State question mark. Love the guard. Love the guard play. They have not a ton of depth up front, but they might have enough. Iowa State, they don't make it for you?
No. No.
Why not?
I just... In the bigger spots, I thought I would see more, and as we know, the NCAA tournament's not on your home court, and that's the one thing that bothers me. I totally think we're going to see them the second weekend for sure, but I don't think they can win a national championship.
I had a hard time not putting them because they've impressed for certain. I like their guards enough, and that's a big thing.
Yep.
Can you score it? Which is a problem for some teams that I got one in particular that I'm just not going to be able to tell you he's going to win one. And I'll tell you why when we get there.
Yep.
But at some point, I wonder somebody in this league is going to get to the tournament and they're just going to be, it's 15 rounds of heavyweight and you're just done. And I don't know that it's them. Might not be.
Mm-hmm.
But at some point, I had to draw a line somewhere. And I went back and forth between Kansas State and Iowa State. And in terms of trying to win six neutral site games, I liked Coach Tang's group more than I liked the Clonies.
Agreed on all fronts.
Okay. All right.
Now, I mean, there's a couple. I mean, West Virginia's good is good. Like, I'm thinking about the conference tournament. Like, there could be some sleepers that make a run in that. And West Virginia and Texas Tech are the two teams that I've circled.
Oklahoma was in the last place in their league, and they beat Alabama by 100. Who's going to be a one seed?
Mm-hmm. So,
like that's the bottom of their league. There is no bottom of that league. Is no bottom. So you're right. I mean, good luck in the Phillips 66, if it's still called that, Big 12 tournament.
Yes.
Kemper Arena back in the day.
Love it. Let's go to the SEC.
Okay.
Okay.
Yep.
How many do you have?
Not many.
Okay.
Bama, obviously, although this situation as we talk on a Tuesday, and the story is, I mean, look, the story was horrible to begin with.
Mm.
But now the story, just from a strictly what's going to happen standpoint with their best player, Brandon Mitchell, is not been charged with anything, but his involvement with apparently the player, one of the players who's been kicked off Alabama's team, texted for him to bring the gun that was used in the murder of a 23-year-old mom in Tuscaloosa. I mean, this story is horrific to start with. I don't know what will happen. Maybe nothing. But that's a whole... For the exercise that we're doing here, we're talking specifically about Alabama. They clearly, if they have their team, could win a national title, correct?
Yes.
Who else in this league do you trust to say could win six games?
Yeah. Well, here's the thing. When you say the team, you know, by itself, I think it's different. And what I try and do is look at other teams. Like, if I'm going to say a certain team can win six, then is that team worthy of it? And I know who you're talking about. It's Tennessee.
They're the problem for me.
Yeah, it's the struggle to score the ball. You watch them play. They play as hard as anyone. They play great team defense.
Yep.
Barnes, you know, obviously hasn't had the success in the tournament. So how does it look like when they get out of the I mean, it's a good conference.
Are they going to be allowed
to muscle these teams? You know,
are they going to be allowed to play physically? Because we watched that game against Alabama,
yeah,
and we were just laughing because it was absolutely as physical a brand of basketball as you can possibly play. Dudes were on the deck from start to finish.
Mm-hmm.
Defense is great. They guard the rim like crazy. Love that.
Yes.
Love Ziegler.
I love him.
Steve, they won a game against Auburn where they shot 27%.
45-43, right?
46-43.
Oh,
they won 46. They won a game against Maryland where they shot 29%.
Mm.
There are 363 teams playing Division I basketball. They are 282nd in field goal percentage. And I know there are a lot of analytics and there's a lot of ways to look at stuff, but at the baseline, to understand basketball, it's do you make shots and score points? And if you are the 282nd best / worst field goal shooting team in America, I don't know how you can win six straight games, because you're going to have a game where you just don't shoot it.
Totally that's
why
understand.
That's why I do not think, I do not have them on the list to win six games.
Okay.
I just don't buy it.
Do you have anyone else from the SEC that can win a national championship besides Alabama?
This might sound crazy. I think if Arkansas is healthy with the style of play, the style of game they can play, and I don't know, Smith is an enigma. I don't know. He hasn't been healthy. Can he just become some great player? I don't know. But I put them down with a question mark next to it. Maybe that's crazy.
I'm with you. I have them on the list. Now, it's been an absolute disaster for that team and what it was at the beginning. They lost Brazil, and then, you know, the other kid gets hurt. He's a clutch guy. He goes out to L.A., leaves the team. Now he comes back. He's in the mix, and I would think guys on the team are like, what's up with this? How does this guy get to play when he left our team? So I think there's a lot of ironing out stuff. I have confidence that Musselman could do that. If there's a guy that could, you know, get personalities to clash and get it tight for six games, I think it's there. The talent's there. He's a great coach. So they are on the list. The one I struggle that I'm keeping on the list, and you mentioned Tennessee's flaws, A&M's guards I like, and I'm just keeping them on there because they were awful to start the year.
Awful.
But They're more than capable to me.
I feel like the SEC's got like six teams that could be second weekend teams. And if you can get there, then okay, you could make a Final Four. But I'm trying to grade with a sharp pencil and say, can you win six? Because it's really hard to do.
Yep.
Really hard to do. And that's why, as much as I love Tennessee's defense, as much as I like their group, because they can run a bunch of guys at you, you have to be able to score them. Paul, it's not that score the basketball. Shout out to Brad Doherty. So that's why I had a hard time with him. But you got A&M okay. on there. I don't.
Okay.
If you lose to Wofford and whoever else they lost to in November, you're not winning six straight games.
Okay. How about Kentucky?
They're another wild card.
Yeah.
because they're bad this year has been really bad. I don't believe. Remember the year they were, what were they, that 8 or 9, and poor Wichita had to play them in a second round game. But they had the Harrisons, didn't they? And those guys could both score.
Yep.
What guards for them are going to carry them? I just to win six. I don't see it. If they're on the 8-9 line, though, that could scare the hell out of, you know, Purdue if they're on the one.
Yeah.
No question about that.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're, you know, speaking of guards.
All right. And I know they had a great win against Tennessee. I'm not there with Missouri. That was Arkansas or Auburn. I can't get there with them either.
No.
So I have four. You have three.
Sort of.
Okay. Oh, you and Liss. It's my favorite thing.
Not my strength.
Big Ten Scotty. How many do you have written down for the Big Ten?
Two.
Mm.
Look, they'll get a ton in, but they're not high on seed lines. They're not high on seed lines. Speaking of, how are you going to officiate your league? I mean,
there's enough of those officials in the Big 12 and the Big 10 and the SEC that are going to be doing tournament games.
Maybe,
you know?
but look at the Michigan State, Maryland, Iowa, Rutgers, Illinois, that pack in the middle. I don't know what to make of Northwestern. Look, about 2 weeks ago, I said they're done winning games. They're about to fall off a cliff, and I don't think they've lost since. I mean, they have been, and they're not on my list here, but I've been wrong about them throughout the year. There's two teams. One is Indiana, and I like them the most in the Big Ten, more than Purdue. More than Purdue, because as much as I love Painter, and Edie is a force for certain. Their guards in Maryland showed it last week when they came to College Park. I love Braden Smith, the freshman. He's a bad, not afraid, but you just pressure him, and it doesn't matter if you turn him over or not. Just make him use 10 seconds to get the ball across, and now all that fun stuff that Matt runs, now you got not enough time to make it all happen. I just don't know that they can win six. Indiana, I think, could. The two I have is Indiana and Purdue, but if I had to pick one or the other, that I thought, and this is asking a lot of Indiana, who I think this group has only won one tournament game together.
Yeah.
One tournament win. Now I'm asking them to get six. I'm just saying the group they've got, and they're going to get Xavier back, their point guard, get Xavier Johnson back. That's the team I like the best of the league, but those are the only two I have.
What do you make of Rutgers?
I mean,
that resume in conference alone is just like the scores don't make any sense. Teams they lose to and then they turn around and win games on the road.
Well, they won at Purdue and gave them, you know, you win in Mackey, man. That should count for two.
Yeah.
I win six. Pikel's a fantastic coach. Big fan of him.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he's making Rutgers basketball a thing. I mean, and by thing, I just mean be a consistent tournament team. That's really all you're hoping to be in most cases. And he's making them that. So, but they were a second like 2 weeks ago in the league, and now they were ninth or something.
Yeah, they're way down. Yeah, they're middle. They're in that 9-7 group.
Well, yeah, I think that's like six teams or that. So,
yeah.
How many teams? And look, the Big Ten we know has struggled mightily in the tournament.
Mm.
You're talking about can win six games. Again, let's state the exercise here. Not who, they could make a Final Four. I mean, make a second weekend. That's an accomplishment.
Yep.
Make the third weekend. That's a really big accomplishment. Be the only team standing on Monday night in April. I mean, Rutgers isn't winning six games. And I'm not pooping on Rutgers. I have
a team written down because I will not doubt them with the circumstances. I just need them to get in the tournament.
Who?
And it's Michigan State.
Well, yeah, they'll get there.
So
we're taping on a Tuesday. They got a huge one, and given what happened in East Lansing, I mean, you know,
I'm not doubting them.
I understand. And again, shout to Ann Arbor. What you guys did on Saturday night, that was really a beautiful thing, man. They lit up Chrysler Arena in green. They played the Michigan State song. I mean, you know me, I get teary eyed over anything. I thought that was beautiful, man. Beautiful. And then those two teams went out and played a high level game.
Really good game.
Which I didn't expect to see. And they both played excellent in the end. Michigan hit a couple of big shots. And your point about, you know, you just try to figure out how to win enough games in that league because there's really not much differentiation between any of them.
And that's why I think they're all dying to get out.
Get
just to the NCAA tournament, see some different faces, you know? How it all works.
No doubt. I feel like the Big 12, Big 10, I mean, every league, I don't care. Give me somebody new. Even if they're a higher seed than us, fine. Just somebody that hasn't scouted us 13 times in the last 3 years that knows everything we do.
All right. The next conference, I have as many teams in this conference that can win a national title as the Big 12.
And that's the Big East.
It sure is.
This is the hardest one to figure out who's going to win in New York. That tournament is going to be mayhem. So you have five from the Big East.
I do.
That means you got one more than me.
You don't have Providence.
I don't.
Okay, I do.
Every single Providence game for the last 3 years has been 68-67 with 13 seconds left. Providence is ahead one, down one with the ball every game. So, Coach Cooley's guys aren't going to blink if it's the under four and it's a tight game in any round. But can they win six? I have more faith in UConn, Creighton, Marquette, and Xavier. Those are the four I have. You have all of them plus Providence.
Yeah, with UConn.
Right. I said it. UConn,
okay.
Creighton.
Okay, I didn't hear you say
UConn,
it. Okay.
Creighton, Marquette, Xavier.
Yep.
You have plus Providence.
I do.
Okay.
I do.
I could probably get talked into that just because I'm such a fan of Coach Cooley.
Exactly.
And I'm a fan. Like, I get that the analytics don't love the teams that constantly have to deal with that because it's reasonable. I was furious years ago that the Mello Trimble years with Maryland. I just basically say, oh no, I guess they should lose because then it'd be better. Then you could stop talking about regression. And if you keep winning close games, there's no downside to that.
Yeah.
It's just the buy-in that you're going to get from predictive analytics is that at some point you're going to stop coming out on the right side of coin flip games. That's a reasonable way to look at it. I also think it's reasonable if you watch games to think when push comes to shove, they're not scared. There's a lot to that.
Okay. Do you have any teams from the ACC on your list?
Miami.
Okay.
Virginia, I have a question mark. Part of it's that I watched him over the weekend win by two against Mike Bray's group. I mean, Virginia's—they're not quite Tennessee, but they don't score. They don't shoot it particularly well. Now they're going to make you play their style.
Mm-hmm.
But I just six games. Let me ask you. I know they're good.
Yep.
But when they won a title, they had pros.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe Beekman's a pro. I don't know. I mean, Vonderplas. Yeah. The stash. I mean, yep. But they don't have lottery pick types, guys,
no.
Like they had with Hunter.
No.
What I was going to say is, have you watched them this year where at the end of that game, you're like, damn, that's a team that could do it?
Yeah, because they always get you to play their style.
That's true.
And I love that. And I know.
When I watched them play State came in ranked and it went exactly the way I thought it would go. They frustrated State. They made them play an ugly 60 something to low 50 something game or something like that. I think that was the final high 60s to mid 50s, whatever it was. Virginia covered and it was an under. It was like at the end of it, you go, well, yeah, that's that. But okay, so let's work this out. So that's against a seed line, like State's on about the 7, 6, 7, 8 seed line. Okay. Well, you beat them. Well, now when you get the 3-4 game. All right. Well, now you got to play Kansas State or somebody.
Mm-hmm.
They win in that game. You know what I mean?
I get what you're saying. I have confidence in them. I watched, you know, them go toe to toe with Houston when they came into their gym. Like they won't be fazed by anybody. And I just, that's it always totally, goes back.
Totally fair. That's a totally fair thing.
They're not phased, and they make you play their style. It's a crazy thing to see in this day and age of college basketball, but it happens and it's successful. And I know everybody that listens to that is going to say, hey, how about UMBC? Great. I get it. But that's what happens when you play that style. You're leaving yourself open.
Here's why I like Miami. Their last six games, they've won them all. They scored 92, 81, 93, 96. Now, they don't guard a ton.
No.
They're happy to let you get theirs. Cornell scored 105 against them in a regulation college basketball game. 40 minutes. Okay. So, but they look at it like, all right, okay. You feel good about getting your 90. It's a guard league. Mm-hmm. Wong, Miller, Pack, Poplar. We're gonna get our points. If I had to pick one ACC team to win six, I'd pick Miami first. If it's a snake draft, I'd pick Miami first.
Okay.
And I don't. What you're saying about Virginia is true. Is anyone else from the ACC on your list that can win six games?
No.
Yeah.
Nope. And so the ACC has two on my list, and the Pac-12 and the West Coast Conference, I have them both there just because more of pedigree with St. Mary's and Gonzaga. I like the idea they have older guys, and I still think they're capable. Gonzaga, I actually feel better about St. Mary's than Gonzaga. And then
quick on Gonzaga, here's where I disagree. They don't have a lottery pick, okay? Mm-hmm. They don't have a Suggs. They don't have a Rui. They got a guy in Timmy, though, who's been there a bunch. And I think they won't be a one.
No.
And they won't be carrying around the
correct.
You're supposed to do it.
Yep.
That, to me, has got to be worth something. Now, Mark Few, still, for the people that want to, I don't know, that don't have the internet and have missed the last decade when Gonzaga's become a blue blood and been in a one seed over and over again. Few's still going to have to deal with, like, can you win that last game? Mm-hmm. Okay. And that's not unreasonable. You want to take, you have to take the next step at some point to truly be in the club. But this team not carrying some long winning streak and not having to wear a bullseye, I think benefits them.
No doubt. No doubt. And I come from the old school of when they first came on the scene and they had a 10 next to them and beat Stanford in Seattle. No big deal. In 99. I'm not going to bring that up. Doesn't have bad memories.
Seeded this tournament.
Oh, just a joke. All right. So St. Mary's, Gonzaga, Pac-12, obviously UCLA, Arizona. I can't wait for that game next Saturday in Pauley. UCLA also, Mick does a great job of when he gets in this, you know, one and done situations of dictating what the other team's going to do. I love that about them. They have everything.
They do. They got guys that, like, pros, yeah, not high level, but they got experience. Jaquez is nasty. Tiger's nasty.
Yeah, I love him.
I think I saw him play their best game, and that was, you're never invited again. Maryland's lost one game at home. Steve was there. It's fine. Just don't ask him back. It's not complicated. Obviously, Houston's on your list.
Exactly. I was just going to mention Houston. And the one I have a big question mark in, because I've seen this team play well, and they're from a conference that hasn't done anything in a tournament, and that's San Diego State. I think they're head and shoulders the best team from that conference. And they've played – I like they're not – they were out in Maui and played some good teams. So I have them with a question mark. So if you have a question mark, you are on the list.
Okay. And that's fine. That's fine. Mountain West, you know, last year we'd had some BPI and graphics that we did before the tournament about BPI said they were overseeded, and all the Mountain West got mad and yelled at me. And I'm like, this is math. This isn't me saying this. And then the conference went out and lost every game it played. And you got to win some games. And everybody in that league, everyone in that league knows that, you know, mm-hmm. Boise, San Diego. Who else is in that league that's going to make the tournament this year? Utah State, Nevada. Those teams. You have to win. And by the way, in a one-off situation, anything can happen, and we understand that. I'm just for the league knows. Like, we just I know you don't stink. You don't. Mm-hmm. You've got some good teams in that league. No, and I think this is what I said last year. No one showed more Mountain West than we did last year, particularly last year, because Wyoming was really good. Boise, you guys had some sick games, and we showed them. you just got to win some tournament games. Just at least play the second round.
Yeah. So if my math is correct, I have 25 teams.
That's awesome.
National championship.
Okay. And you got more than me because you're including the question marks and I docked. Yep. I said I was going to grade with a sharp pencil. I probably got 20, but
yeah,
in a year where we've had more number ones and number twos lose at this point than we've ever had before, it tells you that the top of your seed line just isn't a given.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if Houston plays to its ceiling and they win a couple of easy games and they get an 8-9, you know, say it's Pitt, Maryland, and they get them and they win easy, then you go, all right, like that's not a shock. You're good. You're really good.
Mm-hmm.
But if Purdue's on the one line and they lose to somebody off an 8-9 that, you know, whoever that would be, then you go, well, you know, they kind of look vulnerable there. I mean, there don't feel like any absolute lock second weekend teams.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd suggest that that's great for the tournament if you love the sport, which you and I do. I don't know if it's great for the casual observer. I think you kind of people sort of like the brand names, not having a Duke or a Gonzaga or somebody like that with a one next to it. I think to a degree that's not great for business. You know mm-hmm. what I'm saying? I think as much as anything, people that don't really watch college basketball day in and day out tune in to root against teams in the tournament. And so maybe this year there's less of that. But if you enjoy the sport and you've watched a bunch of these leagues, like, I mean, every night you and I have got all five TVs.
Yeah.
You know, granted, the NBA games and some NHL games are here and there, and you're watching the ones that matter most. But if push comes to shove and it's a coin flip, we're throwing on the Big East, we're throwing on the Big Ten, we're throwing on the best games of the night. And 25, sure. I mean, I'd say I buy that for Final Four. I have a harder time buying it because, again,
mm-hmm.
fifth and sixth wins are I'm just glad the team I root for did it one time so that I can always have that. Because it changes your fandom forever. Because at least you saw it happen, I'll never ever get over how Virginia did it. Mm-hmm. There was no way they were beating Purdue. None.
Oh,
T.A. Clark has the ball facing the wrong direction, down two with about a second and a half left, and somehow they won that game. They're never beating Auburn,
mm-hmm.
and then Auburn fouls Guy, and he makes all three. And the Texas Tech game, they actually were leading, but then they needed 103 to force overtime.
Yeah,
I think the stat was that they were trailing with under 10 seconds in the last three games that they won.
Mm-hmm.
And they did it, Steve. They did it. And they did it the year after they lost to
exactly.
A That's the tournament. The same group mostly that lost to a 16 with a one next to its name came back the next year and somehow pulled rabbits out of its hat. That Carson Edwards game against them was as good as anyone's ever played in a loss ever.
I still
can't believe they didn't win that game.
No,
but Virginia managed to do it. And mm-hmm. I guess I don't even know what I'm saying other than that. It's really hard to win six, man.
Yeah.
It's so hard to do. So there probably aren't 25, if we're being honest. But this year,
there's 25 on my list.
Well, you know what? Then that's all that matters.
Other thing. I hate making predictions for the tournament before the bracket comes out. I need to see the bracket, you know?
Of course. Of course. This is pointless.
I want to see. I think this team could go to the Sweet 16. And they're a mid-major, and it's Colgate. They are going to be a pain in the ass this year. As long as they get there, they should, you know, run through their conference tournament. But now they got some size. They got they obviously could shoot the ball really well. Be careful if they're on your side of the bracket. That's my looking ahead to March and February nugget for the bracket.
Matt Langell's guys are a problem. That's the name to keep an eye on when it comes to whatever happens. I mean, we already know Notre Dame is going to find a new coach, and that'll lead to where does that come from? I'm not going to start connecting dots, but if that's Matt will be on speed dial for
no doubt
for coaching opportunities that will come as a result of whatever happens post tournament. This is good fun. I have a hard time eliminating people. You understand where I am with Tennessee, right? I mean, if
yeah,
you have to be able to shoot the ball. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Can you win six like shooting 28%? It's gonna be a chore. Mm. Dirty Terps are going to be in the field. That's all I know. I'm not worried about winning six. Coach Willard's going to get the guys into the and going to get them on the line in a bracket first year in, and that's fun. I remember a few years ago doing one big thing when we did radio about never ever ever take for granted ever. That Sunday, you're watching CBS, and you're like, "Yeah, buddy, it's a spring day. Winter's behind you." You're just waiting to see where are we going and who are we playing. Mm. And when you know that that wait is not going to end with you playing somewhere against somebody, you don't care if it's Spokane at 9:57 on Friday night. Don't care. Just who are we playing? What time's the game? And I mean, barring
Maryland fans will complain whatever time the game is, though.
Yes, we will.
That's their favorite thing to do.
We complain about everything. 6:30 game against Purdue, too early. Got a 9 o'clock or
best night of the gymnasium in years.
That place was on fire that night. 9 o'clock, too late.
Noon Sunday. Nah, NFL pregames are on.
I did complain about the seating that one year because it was just horrific. But that's in the rear view, Steve.
I'm can't wait for this year.
I'm looking. Okay. We'll be on the 8-9 against
this sound right now.
Shrink. I saw a bracket somebody had. We were 8-9 against Kentucky, and if we win, we get Houston. I'm like, what is this? And you go, hey, listen, you know what? If they're on a line and that's who you're playing, let's go. Lace them up. Put 40 on the clock. We'll go. See what happens. Mm. Listen. Terps were picked 10th in the league this year. I think Northwestern was picked 13th. Neither team's going to finish there. So you just want to be on the line. Give me a game.
That's it.
We got anything else?
Question. I think I already know the answer to this.
Let's find out.
Thumbs up, thumbs down, Shamrock shakes.
Totally indifferent. I guess thumbs down. I don't want it. Won't eat it.
Okay.
You're a thumbs up.
I am. They're fantastic. I'm not a big minty peppermint thing, but those things are phenomenal.
Surprising. And my whole years of knowing you, what am I trying to say? My whole life and my many years, I don't think I've ever seen you willingly say, yeah, barkeep, give me something minty.
No.
When we're doing like the candy grab, I don't see you going for a York peppermint patty. Like, that's just never been something that you've never once have you ordered that. If we're on the newlywed game sitting next to each other, how well do you know your pal? You right now, you'd be giving me side eye going, what? I like Shamrock shakes. And I'd be saying this to you. Not once have I seen you do any sort of peppermint eating. So, but you know what, Steve? Not once have I seen you take a dump. I bet you have. Okay. I'm just saying, I don't know everything that you like or do, but you like Shamrock shakes, not me. I'm not really a shake guy.
No, I'm not either, but I'll grab one when the season comes. It's right around the corner. They might be available now. I haven't even checked. Just out there. Just throwing it out there.
I don't want to drink ice cream. I'm pro ice cream eating. That makes sense? I don't want to drink it. Because it gets in the way of me having my 37th Diet Coke of the day.
There you go.
Speaking of which, this bottle is empty. Barkeep, we need to re-up, start writing a sports center and get down there on the set.
Yeah. Speaking of barkeeping.
Yeah.
Folks down at Sup Dogs, Greenville, North Carolina.
Yeah.
Start icing them up for this weekend. Your boy's coming down.
Wait, you're heading that way?
Yes, I am.
Let's just say on the way out, if you're not an elected official in that jurisdiction by the end of close of business this weekend, then everyone down there has failed.
We got a baseball game against the Tar Heels in the jungle Saturday afternoon.
Paint this one purple.
And then the Houston Cougars come in for a hoop game 8 o'clock that night. I will be at both.
And if you're not some kind of honorary official sheriff, something, then everyone down there has failed. You guys wanted him, you got him. Just give him a title of some sort. That's you're America's guest. I love it. Treat him with love, Greenville. You asked for him, you got him. The big man is on his way to your area code. Let's leave on that one. Stanford Steve, Scott Van Pelt, appreciate you being with us for SV Pod. Have a great week. We'll see you on the other side.